Hollywood News, featuring Luella Parsons, Hollywood's best-known, best-loved, most distinguished reporter, whose column appears in the San Francisco Examiner and 500 other papers. Miss Parsons' special guest this evening is Spencer Tracy, brought to you direct from the film capital by famous Woodbury Facial Soap, true beauty soap for the skin you love to touch. And here with the latest Woodbury Hollywood headlines is Luella Parsons.
Hello to all of you from Hollywood. My first exclusive. Believe it or not, Cornelius Vanderbilt Jr. is thinking of getting married again after his divorce is granted. He admitted to me he's very much interested in a pretty blonde named Barbara Pinney, former wife of Warren Pinney Jr. My second exclusive. Ken Murray and Betty Lou Walters, his leading lady in the black out on Las Vegas. And by the time you hear this, they will be married. My third exclusive. Miriam Hopkins and Ray Brock are waiting only for the opening of a Broadway play next week before announcing their plan to divorce. Brock is a well-known newspaper man. Remember I told you some months ago that there was an amazing story behind the fight between lawyer Oscar Cummings and actor Robert Cummings? Well, yesterday Oscar sued for $240,000 alleging breach of contract. For years, everyone in Hollywood thought Bob and Oscar were half-brothers. In fact, they themselves said so. Not relationship. Bob says he will reveal in court the sensational reasons why he consented to this impersonation. Well, here's the situation. Rita Hayworth has some retakes to make with Orson Welles in their latest picture, and their love scene. After all she had to say about the difficulty of living with a genius, it's going to be slightly embarrassing. Orson finally admits their marriage is over and has moved in to George Jessel. Rita is back in town and will file for divorce immediately. The Dick Haynes are twice as happy as they were. That's because the doctors told them they have every reason to expect twins in September. Twins run in Dick's family. I'm so happy to announce that the Matt Gordons, whose separation I reported on this program 2 weeks ago, have reconciled. He's a famous composer. This is the way I like such stories to end. An amazing story that concerns Hollywood has just leaked out from behind the Iron Curtain of Russia. Since years ago, the Soviets helped themselves to D.W. Griffith's movie in town. Many prints of it, and ever since have been using it as a model for motion picture technique. Griffith, however, has never received one red cent. Tomorrow morning, Rudolf Immel, son of the famous composer, will file a $30,000 lawsuit against the city of Los Angeles. He was charged that because he protested against a minor traffic violation, he was thrown in jail and held incommunicado for 5 long hours. Shades of Frank Merriwell, Nick Carter, and all the other famous dime novel characters. Here's a new one. Gene Autry has made a deal with a publishing company to bring out 5 million copies of dime novels with Gene as a hero. He'll collect 3 cents on each copy sold. Not bad. Ellen Ross, who's been seen everywhere with Jimmy Stewart, is getting married in September, but not to Jimmy. She'll wed Bobby Anderson, who was Faye Emerson's boyfriend before she married into the Roosevelt family. Perennial bachelor Jimmy had us all fooled. He thought this was it. There's a lot of undercover talk on Warner's latest picture, Unfaithful. All good talk, too, because it exposes the evils of the divorce problem that is wrecking so many American homes now. And it deals with it without kid gloves. Anne Sheridan, the star, after seeing the picture, is reported to have said, "The story in this case is much more important than the actors. It didn't even matter to me what I wore or how I looked." Tony Martin is flying west to get here in time to be the best man for composer Ben Oakland's marriage on Wednesday to Eleanor Davis, a non-professional. Marvin, how about singing out your Woodbury wedding story?
This sparkling Woodbury deaf, Denise Cantal of Montreal, found her romance at a friend's wedding. Yes, among the guests was Captain Jean Vin. One quick look at Denise, at her creamy, fair-skinned beauty, and Jean was soon talking orange blossoms. That's how quick, in a heartbeat, a Woodbury smooth complexion registers with a man.
And when their wedding day came, Denise kept another date. As she said,
my beauty date with Woodbury soap, a Woodbury facial cocktail. On my bridal day, as every day.
And here's how.
I cream on Woodbury's mild lather to win that fresh, fresh look. Then plenty of rinses. Skin smooth, glowing. And Jean lovingly approves.
Yes, for the clearer, fresher skin that makes you lovely and lovable. Date daily with Woodbury soap. That's the beauty routine of Woodbury marrying Debs. A rich beauty cream ingredient goes into Woodbury, makes it different, extra mild. See how gently this true beauty soap cleanses, freshens your skin to sweeter, smoother beauty that he'll adore. Try Woodbury facial soap for the skin you love to touch. And here is the editorial feature, Luella Parsons Speaks Her Mind.
I'm on my Woodbury soapbox tonight to salute Warner Brothers and their producer, Jerry Wall. They will make a picture revealing the desperate plight of our school teachers, who are so pitifully underpaid. There is no national problem that needs such immediate correction. After all, teachers have as much influence over the rising generation as their parents. The fact that these highly educated, cultured people have been forced to go on strike shows how desperate their position has become. There is no better way of bringing the disgraceful condition home to our people than to dramatize it on the screen. And if this is propaganda, then let's make the most of it.
Have you a picture to recommend this week, Luella?
I certainly have, Marvin. MGM's daring emotional drama, The Sea of Grass. It's a story of a pioneer who fights to keep the western wheat fields from being destroyed by the cattle baron. I was personally so delighted with The Sea of Grass that I asked his top star to be my guest this evening. What's more, he's here, making his first radio appearance in 4 years. That outstanding gentleman, that twice winner of the Academy Award, that very fine actor, my dear friend, Mr. Spencer Tracy. Spence, it certainly is an honor having you make one of your rare radio appearances on my show.
Luella, I do it for nobody else. I avoid radio like the plague.
Why do you? Is it for some artistic reason?
It's for a ham's reason. I'm not good at the radio. Tonight, though, I'm doing it because I mean to put something over on you.
Oh, is that so? You put nothing over on me, young man, until you've answered some very personal questions.
Luella, you've not changed one bit since we knew one another as kids in Freeport, Illinois. Then you knew every secret in Freeport, and now you're... Well, now, what can you want to know about me that you don't know already?
One thing I've always wanted to know is how that crazy runaway kid you were grew up to be the star with the quietest acting technique of them all.
Technique? Are you kidding? I don't know what I'm doing half the time. I just go in there and talk.
Well, you talk mighty effectively in The Sea of Grass. Would you say that role was one of your favorites?
Well, I really don't have any favorites, Luella. Well, maybe Captain's Courageous was a favorite.
Well, I should think it would be. That won you an Oscar. Boys Town won you another Oscar, too.
Yeah, they were good parts, and good parts make you look good. We've been lucky in our careers, haven't we, Luella?
You speak for yourself. My career was based entirely on merit.
Oh, sure.
You know what amazes me is the staying power some people have. Take Ronald Coleman, Clark Gable.
Gable. Do we have to mention Gable? Have you ever heard the story about the time 20th Century Fox was trying to borrow me from MGM?
No, but I'd like to.
Well, the 20th Century executives were huddled with the MGM executives, whereupon one of our big shots said, this is silly. Lend you Tracy, would you ask me to cut off my right arm?
What did he answer?
He said, no, your left arm. Gable's your right arm. And now that I've revealed these innermost secrets, Luella, may I say what's really on my mind?
Thanks. You big faker. Secrets indeed. But what is on your mind?
A serious thing, Luella. A very serious thing. I want to give a message to the parents of deaf children.
I can understand your interest in that subject, Stan.
Luella, I've learned that deaf child doesn't have to be permanently handicapped. John, our son, who has never heard, is now in his third year at college, easily holding his own with other boys.
Maybe he's unusually brilliant.
No, that's just the point. He's not at all unusual. What has helped him is that his mother learned how to train him from childhood.
I know, Spencer. Both of you have done a wonderful job with John, and also a wonderful job in establishing the John Tracy Clinic.
Mrs. Tracy has done that. The only school of its kind in the country, because they train not only the children, but also they train the parents. Our clinic is a small thing in its way, but I hope it may give other people in other communities the idea to do work along those lines.
Say, do you accept contributions to support the clinics, ma'am?
You bet we do. They're very welcome. We're growing out of the buildings USC has so generously loaned us. We're growing all the time. Our work by correspondence to parents and children who can't get out here personally is reaching thousands now. But what's really important is that people begin thinking along the right lines about deaf children. Luella, there's no such thing as a deaf and dumb child. The only reason a child cannot speak is because it cannot hear. But he can be taught to speak.